Hi, I'm your host, John Knight, and this is Interview with a Geek. On this episode, I interview Jessica Mills, writer and producer on the web series Awkward Embraces. So sit back and enjoy the interview where we talk about her career and all things geek. Hello, Jessica. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. Happy, 11-11-11 day?
Yes, it's also Veterans Day.
Yes, it's geeky binary number day. What are the origins of Awkward Embraces, and how do they get started, and I guess, is there any kernel of truth to some of the experience that you've captured in there?
I was very frustrated actress. I just wanted to be doing something, and I needed a reel anyway, and Lindsay and Candace also needed footage for their acting reels, so we were like, well, let's just get together and shoot some stuff. So I wrote episode number 4 of season 1, the infamous donut episode. That was the first one, and we all got together and shot it, and we had such a good time that everybody stayed on board to do it as a show. Season 1 pretty much entirely comes from personal experience. A couple of them are friends' experiences, or they're like a combo, or they're like based on a conversation that I had with a friend, or like a combination of two different really bad dates. And then season 2 is a lot more of like those characters were created. Mm-hmm. And so now I could be like, okay, what's next for this character? What's the next thing? You know, what's the next step of like this situations? And but I still, I get inspired by real stories all the time, and things people tell me, and things I overhear couples do talking about, and sure, stuff like that. So yeah.
Okay. I just personally, as a single geek, I have related to a few of the moments there, so you've touched on some reality there. Out from some of these stories you talked about, Have there been any areas of geek dating that you wanted to stay clear of or felt uncomfortable with getting into?
Not really. I mean, so far most of it's been sort of my own experiences or my friends' experiences. I haven't really gotten into any areas that I was like, oh, this is weird, you know. I mean, my dad has already seen the donut episode, so
right,
there's really not a lot worse. I mean, I'm sure there is worse, but there's not a lot worse that I could really do, so
gotcha.
It's fine. We've talked about it. It's fine.
Good. Well, what about areas of geek life in general, or geek, I'll pause for a second. To me, geek is a, you know, there's many geekdoms in the broad spectrum of being a geek and different types of geek, you know, so, and dork and nerd in there as well. So are there areas of those geek nerddoms that you're more interested in focusing on or less interested in showing in the characters?
No, actually, I get more interested in showing the different parts that I haven't experienced, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to try tabletop role-playing. I haven't tried it yet. I have a lot of friends that do it. I used to read comic books a lot as a kid and got out of it. And now that I've been hanging out in the geek community, like, it's expanded it. So now I'm like, oh, now I really want to read more comic books. And, you know, I want to try all these other aspects of geekness. And you know, I think they're all pretty awesome, you know.
Yeah.
So
I'm personally a multifaceted geek, I guess. I describe myself a little bit more as the technical side, but I'm the comic book collector, the computer nerd, etc., whatever. So I fall into more of the stereotypical nerd. I've got the glasses without the tape today on, but I guess one thing I have to share with you is that there, and one of the, you know, interesting reasons why I started doing the show is because I have been exposed to a lot more areas of geekness that I either never knew about or wasn't exposed to. And so part of this is sort of reaching out and finding other people and learning what other geeks do and what they're into. So that is a great segue to my next, you know, hard-hitting question, which is, you know, where, you know, do you describe yourself as a geek or a nerd? And if so, why? And what are the other things that, like you mentioned, reading comic books when you were younger, what other areas of geekness do you associate yourself with?
It's funny, I didn't really describe myself as a geek until the geek community found the show. You know, it's because I've always loved Star Trek. I started reading the Dragonlance novels were my first fantasy novels, mm-hmm. and of course I read them 8,000,000 times as a kid, you know, elementary school on up. I was reading Dragonlance and Chronicles of Narnia 8,000,000 times, and I love fantasy novels. I've always loved sci-fi. If there's spaceships and aliens in it, I'm gonna love it, you know.
Yeah.
I've always been a geek. I didn't know that I didn't really know there was a whole community for it, you know. I mean, I would go to Comic-Con for like a day because I didn't really have any other geek friends. So I moved out here in 2007. And so every year up until this last year, I would go down for a day and look at all the exhibit halls and see a few panels and then go back home because I didn't really know anybody, you know, maybe one friend would want to go down there with me or whatever. So it's been a really, like, it's been an incredible thing for me when, you know, the geek community saw the show and they were like, oh, she's one of us. And I was like, oh, I am one of you guys. And then I got on Twitter and I started talking to everybody on Twitter. Yep. Like I did a TNG rewatch and I would tweet about it.
Yeah, I think
and
that's so actually...
Yeah, and then all these people would tweet me back and we would be talking about the episode while I was watching it. And yep. It was so incredibly fun. Like doing this show has really led me to find my community, which has been an incredible experience. So
very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
I have my own similar story is I was into steampunk and I didn't know what the heck it was for the longest
time. Nice.
So yeah, I thought I was the only person in the world that sort of liked cogs, brass, and you know, Jules Verne. So yeah, that was kind of a surprising thing to find there's actually millions of people out there. So I went to my first steampunk convention this past year and was pleasantly surprised. So yeah, I found nice. My other people, my other lost tribe. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So you know, do you have any interesting stories about from the geek community, any specific examples of how either made a connection there or you know, maybe hit a nerve, maybe the other side of that with the geek community, how you, you know, hit or miss?
I mean, I found some of the best friends I've ever had and I've only known them for, you know, a couple of years now, but mm-hmm. I feel closer to them than I've felt to any friends I've had, you know, because we're the same sort of people, you know, which has been really awesome. And all the people that I talk to online, they just enrich my life so much and make everything so much more fun. When Awkward Embraces first came out there, we got posted on Metafilter.
Okay.
And all the comments were all about how I was just pandering to the geeks. They called me, they compared me to Olivia Munn. They said I was too pretty to be a real geek. They said the show was clearly not authentic, blah, blah, blah. And it genuinely hurt my feelings. So now I get so Hulk smash about this whole geek girl pandering issue.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
Because I'm like, no. because I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I am a geek. Now you're rejecting me. It's not fair. So that's the one bad experience that I've had, but that was in the very beginning, like when I first started putting the show out there and stuff. And now that I think I've been tweeting and blogging long enough that people aren't going to question my credibility anymore, because I think they could tell that I'm kind of like obsessed with Doctor Who and Star Trek and, you know, so.
Well, speaking of which doctor, this is one of the most important questions. Which doctor do you like most?
I've only seen the show from 2005 up.
Okay.
My friend Alan, who is at Sizzler Kissler on Twitter, he does the Crazy Sexy Geeks podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a Doctor Who historian, so he's introduced me. He brought over the DVD of like the very first Doctor Who episode ever, which is super fun, and we watched a couple of like the highlights from the old school. But I am a new school Doctor Who girl. I love David Tennant, but I think the 11th Doctor is my doctor, but I'm not ready to be like, yeah, 11th Doctor, because I love the 10th Doctor so much. They're really neck and neck at this point.
I have to, personally, I think Matt Smith's pulled out ahead. Number 11's pulled a little bit over the edge for me, so I didn't think that was going to be possible, but I'm leaning that way right now. So I can understand your hesitance to fully commit. It's okay. Hopefully we'll have another season to
getting there. But
yeah.
I like it if Matt Smith seems so alien. You know what I mean?
Yes.
His doctor seems alien. And David Tennant's doctor seemed very human because
yes.
he was so emotional. And Matt Smith is so there's so many of those things that just go right over his head that he just doesn't quite get, and he's so, you know, like that, they have that that animated GIF that's going around on Tumblr, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's from the episode where there was that hospital, they were on the pirate ship,
yes, yes,
and the alien was taking them, so the GIF is basically the scene where the dad sees his son, and he's like, Toby, and mm-hmm. Amy sees Rory, and she's like, Rory! And the doctor sees the TARDIS and goes, the TARDIS! And, like, runs over to it, you know? And that's so typical.
Yeah.
He's just not human. He
yeah,
just doesn't
yes.
react to things the way a human does. And I really like that about him. So.
Yes. I had never thought of it that way, but yes, I would agree. I don't know. I think he had me at fish sticks and custard, but, you know, that was...
Yeah.
That was me. I like that one. That's a good one. I like that one. Okay, well, I can't remember if I've said this in any of our exchanges beforehand, before the show, but, you said you did like Star Trek, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, I've gotten that impression, I just want to make sure. So, which Star Trek do you like?
The Next Generation.
TNG, all the way?
All right. Yeah, TNG. I mean, to be fair, the best movies are 2, 3, and 4.
Can't argue with that, yeah.
Of the original cast,
right?
They're the best features. Well, the J.J. Abrams one is right up there. I'd put J.J. Abrams, the brand new Star Trek, and Wrath of Khan like competing for my favorite. But now Wrath of Khan will always be better. But the new Star Trek is a close second at this point. But TV wise, Next Generation.
Next Generation's. I can't argue with that. I mean, I grew up watching reruns before Next Generation came out. That dates me a little bit. But I grew up a little with the reruns, and then Next Generation came in, and that sort of clearly set that as my favorite. But speaking of the next, the J.J. Abrams film, I went with two other Star Trek fanatics to the
mm-hmm.
show for, when it came out, and I loved it. They were primarily, almost exclusively, Next Generation fans, really didn't like anything but Next Generation. So when they came out, I said, what did you think of the film? And they said, it was a great film, but it wasn't a Star Trek film. And I asked them the following question. This is what I want to see if you've heard or what your thoughts on this. Do you think because of the alternative universe that was therefore created, that this is a canon Star Trek film at all? That this exists in this?
Here's my argument against that, because I've heard a lot of people
yep.
say, like, the time travel and the timeline and blah, blah. Do we not remember the series finale of Star Trek when there were like 100 Enterprises because of some sort of space-time something or other? Like,
no.
Do we not remember when, what's his name? The Deep Space Nine captain, I'm blanking on it.
Sisko.
Thank you.
Sisko.
When
yep.
Sisko, like, there was a weird time thing where his son, he went in the wormhole and then his son grew old and had to go back and save him. Like, he died and then he found his son grew old because he was trapped in the time thing. Like, they have been messing with time forever.
Yep.
Constantly messing with time. So it just made sense to me that there was a time thing in the movie. I think it's the time thing and the lens flares is literally all anyone has to complain about. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. I didn't mind the lens flare too much, to be honest with you. I kind of got with it. The only thing that really bothered me the most was that I just couldn't, you know when you're watching a movie and you notice something, it sort of pulls you out of the story for just a second and you
mm-hmm.
notice something. I felt like I was in an Apple store for just, you know, a couple seconds when they were on the bridge. That's what I felt like. So I don't know, but that was just me. But that's not a complaint necessarily. That just happened one time for me. So I don't know. No, I've enjoyed that. And I will use this as evidence to my friends. That's why I asked that question. I want to turn it back around on them, because I didn't have a problem with the change in the timeline. I'm actually looking forward to the next film, so that's going to be interesting.
Well, and then on Voyager, they had two Janeways, and one of them, like, killed the Borg.
Yep.
Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I mean, Prime Directive.
I'm sorry, I could talk about this all day long, but
as could I, so I have no problem with it. And that's part of this, you know, part of what I wanted to, you know, get into is, you know, to ask people, you know, geeks questions that geeks want to hear the answers to, and they want to debate these things. And the fun thing about this forum is that, you know, there's not a chat room right now, so we don't have to deal with 50 other thousand people asking us threaded questions. So we can just sort of get into these things as we go. Well, let me ask you another question. And you said, you know, I mentioned the new movie. I know I met you actually, I think, online because of Twitter and because of your tweeting of the episodes. I think that's actually where I actually discovered you. Then I found the show after the fact.
Nice.
So, So there's that. But I know you're involved with a couple other things. There's the League of Extraordinary Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what how you got involved or started with that?
Definitely. So through Twitter, we had a Not New York Comic Con during New York Comic Con mm-hmm. last year. Amy Ratcliffe at Amy underscore Geek threw it. And so I went to that and I met all these like geeks in LA and it was really fun and we had a really good time. It was just a little small group of people making ourselves feel better that we couldn't be at New York Comic Con. And then we started following each other on Twitter and tweeting each other. And then one day, you know, one of us was like, I want to get together with you guys again. We're like, okay. So we had last year we had this Mary Sithmas party. And so it was a bunch of geek girls getting together. We had like a White Bantha gift exchange. And it was, we hung out for hours and we had so much fun. And we had just, it was so great. We had such a feeling of closeness, you know? And so then, that group of girls were a very tight group of friends. And we sort of came up with this idea of, you know, wanting to do that connecting for mm-hmm. other geeks. Because we talk about how like, you know, you go to con and you're like, yes, my people, my community, this is awesome. Everybody's arguing about Star Trek and Star Wars. It's great. And then you go home and you're kind of bummed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the League of Extraordinary Ladies, like, we have the website and we do blogs and things like that. But our major mission is to help help geeks meet other geeks in their own town. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because there's so many people I meet online. They're like, oh, I don't know anybody in my town that role plays. I haven't played D&D in forever. And it's like, you know, one of the first things we did was we had a worldwide meetup where we had a big party at a comic shop here in LA. And there was one in New York and Boston and Canada and England and Ireland. They have little geek meetups. And we want to do more stuff like that, like more events and things to just to help people connect so that they can have con all the time everywhere.
That's a noble goal. Very cool. What I know, there's a couple of things. I know that you're working on other things. I mean, it's not just Awkward Embraces. I know that probably takes a lot of your life. You're both producer, writer, lead. I'm sure you do a lot of other things. Gaffing and other things. But what else are you working on right now?
Season 3 of Awkward Embraces is going to happen. I'm currently co-writing a sci-fi comedy. It takes place in a starship. That's all I can say so far. But I'll be releasing information soon. Going to be producing season 2 of a web series about a group of female LARPers. It's a really fun show. And then I'm also developing, we're going to do a fan trailer for my friend is writing a fan trailer for his favorite tabletop role-playing game. Thank you. So I'm going to help produce that and be in the fan trailer, and we're hoping if we can get enough excitement about it that we can contact the company that makes the game and ask them for their permission to turn it into a web series. So
Wow. Those
are the things I'm working on now.
So not much going on at all.
No, you know, just hanging out.
No, just chill. Wow, very cool. So are we talking next couple weeks here a little bit more about the couple of those things? Weeks or months?
Hopefully I'll have some more information in like a month.
Okay.
And then I'm hoping to have trailers for all these going up, you know, over the next few months. We'll shoot a trailer and put it up and then shoot another trailer and put it up and so that we can start rolling with everything. So it always ends up being a longer process than I want it to. Film genuinely takes a really long time to sort of get everything together, but hopefully by the first few months of 2012, I'll be getting a lot of video content out there. That's what I'm hoping for.
Very cool. Looking forward to that. Hopefully be able to reach out to you and talk to you about those things when they come out. So let's get back to geek, hardcore geek questions. So comic books. Where did you start off reading comic books? What comics did you start reading?
X-Men and Excalibur were my favorite. I wanted to be Kitty Pryde and I wanted Nightcrawler to be my best friend. they were my favorite, but I really loved reading X-Men a lot. And that's actually what kind of got me back into reading comics because a friend of mine named Pete, who follows me on Twitter, he runs a comic shop, and he was like, did you know that there's our X-Men Star Trek crossovers? And I was like, what? What? So, I wish I had them here. I would hold them up and show you, but there's an X-Men original series crossover, and then there's an X-Men TNG crossover comic, and then there's a novel that carries on through the next gen crossover or whatever. And I got the, my friend Alan got me the novel.
Wow.
So my friend, so Pete gave the comics to Chris, who mailed them to me. And then Alan came to visit for Kamikaze, and he brought me the novel, and they're awesome. I haven't read the novel yet. I'm about to start it. So.
Wow. Not graphic novel, a novel.
Yeah, a novel.
Wow.
And then also, I had talked about how much I love X-Men, and somebody was like, have you read The Astonishing X-Men that Joss Whedon wrote? And a friend of mine let me borrow it. And it's, yeah, pretty awesome.
Whedon.
Then I read Why the Last Man, and I read mm-hmm. some Fables, and so my really good friends are happy to loan comic books, which is awesome. So I've been borrowing some and reading here and there.
That's very cool. That's very cool. I was more of a DC guy starting out.
Oh, yeah.
I think we may have a little feedback problem here. Oh, okay, it's quiet now. Yeah, I was more of a DC guy, Batman guy, but I did read a lot of Amazing Spider-Man, and I've been a collector for a long time. We'll just use that description, a long time. but I did end up going to a convention many, many years ago and found what looked to be like the saddest beat up copy of an X-Men comic book that was in a sort of a bundle. It turned out it was X-Men number 6.
Whoa.
And it's in really bad shape, but I do have X-Men number 6, so that's my pride of my X-Men. So
I
have
awesome.
An early Spidey and Wolverine team up from many, many moons ago. But well, speaking of X-Men, did you like First Class?
I really did. I really enjoyed First Class. I hated all the other X-Men movies.
Okay.
With a passion, I hated them. I did like First Class. I'm not well read on the actual real origin story, so I don't know if they took liberties. But I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot.
You know, they're doing a. Well, I was going to ask because I just heard that they are doing a sequel to that. That's the
mm-hmm.
word anyway. So I was kind of excited. I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed that they were putting, to me, the X-Men in, you know, I guess the proper origin time frame, the 1960s. I thought that was kind of cool. Being a Batman fan, I would have always loved to see a 1939 retro Batman. Sort of like what they, like when I was watching the Captain America film, I loved the fact that the origin was back in World War II and it was period and all the, you know, patriotic music and flair and everything, but very cool, very cool. So I guess we're getting here close to my time limit, but I guess I had sort of arbitrarily set ahead of time. What obviously you've got a lot going on. You've definitely reached out and embraced your inner geek, for lack of a better term, that you've been able to label. Is there any sort of maybe not advice, but words of wisdom from you as far as other people who maybe like you didn't know you were a geek, and how best to go find other geeks or to be okay being a geek, I guess. it's not easy sometimes. But.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, get online. You know, that's we're all, for the most part, not to make generalizations, but we're
sure.
You know, we like to be on our computers for hours at a time. You know, So, you know, get on Twitter, use the hashtags to find other people that are talking about Star Wars or talking about Star Trek or whatever, and get into conversations with people online. And then, you know, stop by your local comic shop and find out what geeky things are going on in your town. And, you know, I have social anxiety. I've been very open about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I intimately understand how hard it can be to go out and meet new people. So, you know, I encourage people to first get online and mm-hmm. talk to people and make friends online, and then your confidence will be up a little bit. You'll be like, well, these people online think I'm cool, you know. And then just go to one thing, you know, just tell yourself, okay, I'm just going to go for an hour, and go for an hour, and then leave and freak out, you know. And then next time say, okay, I'm going to go for an hour, and I'm going to talk to somebody new. and then go home and freak out. You know what I mean? Like, don't be afraid to challenge yourself and push yourself and go out there and meet people, because it'll change your life. You know, once you find those friends that love those things that you do, and it'll change your life, and you got to do it. So
I would agree. Do you next step in terms of getting back into the real world after online, would you recommend a comic book store versus, say, a con to start off with? I mean,
well,
I'm curious, because what's your take?
I see. Cons are great. They're awesome.
Yep.
But I would say, you know, I'm from a very small town, and I know a lot of other people are too, and cons happen in only a handful of cities. So, but just about every town has a comic shop, and that comic shop most likely has some people, you know, playing games in the back room, or organizing, you know, maybe there's a book signing coming up and a bunch of people are going to go out to that. Like, so for the person who can't afford to travel to a con or doesn't already live near a con, I say, you know, your local comic shop or your local gaming shop or anything like that is really the best place to see, to find where the people in your area are going and hanging out and doing stuff.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Thank you very much. This has absolutely been a personal joy. I was a little nervous getting on here. I am a fan, so you know, I had to put that in perspective.
Aww, thank you.
But thank you very much for doing what you do. Everything from the League of Extraordinary Ladies to Awkward Embraces and all your very cool Starship related future things you can't talk about right now, but I'm looking forward to stuff. And thank you, and have a great evening.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.